What is up, my girls? This is the Brain is the New Ass podcast, proudly hosted on the How Deep Health Network. Why Brain is the New Ass? Because what's going on in your mind is the hottest thing about you. This podcast is meant to light you up in a way that brings you joy and value. I'm Katie Brigham, co-founder of Violet Fog Potions and the host of this podcast. Here we like to talk a medley on health, love and dating, the highs and lows of mundane life, and all the good apps. Here we thrive on stories and tips, the perfect combo. If we record a podcast and it's not juicy, truthful, to the point, and of course, unfiltered, it's not airing. Rate us, leave us a review, and join in on the girl talk. Thanks for listening to Brain is the New Ass. In this episode, we talk to Britt, aka at A Little Britta Fun, aka Unfriendly Black Hottie. I think one of the most iconic opinionists of our time, an essayist, columnist. She is amazing. And we're all obsessed with her on social media. If you don't follow her, you need to follow her. She covers everything from social media, influencers, political stuff. She covers social issues. She covers pop culture. I mean, she covers a lot of stuff, but I'm going to tell you what, she does it in a way that is intelligent, but also entertaining. She gets you thinking. You will love her stories. You'll love her stuff. Her Patreon is a favorite amongst hundreds. So we're going to talk about Britt. We're going to talk to Britt. We're going to talk about the girl behind the opinions because we love her opinions, but who is Britt? This is just ultimate girl talk. I can't wait for you to hear this episode. Tune in and after check out her Patreon and her social media. She's amazing. What's up, everyone? I'm so excited. We're here today with Britt, aka Unfriendly Black Hottie, aka A Little Britt of Fun.
Hello.
When did you change your username to A Little Bit of Fun?
Like 2017, but I added the like Unfriendly Black Hottie in like 2019. And so that was like really a shift.
Well, like, this is me now. It has stuck. It has definitely stuck. People love that. I love that. I've been wanting to have you on. You are one of my all-time favorite people to follow. You're one of my girl crushes. I think that you're amazing. And truly, like when I think of like opinion, I think of you as an opinionist and essayist. I know you've seen me describe you that
way. I know. I love that. I love that you say that. That's such an interesting, like I've never heard anyone say that. And I love that.
Don't you think it works though?
Yeah.
Like I think it fits. You know, when I describe you to other people, I'm like, she's an opinionist. She's an essayist. Like that's just what, you know, your stuff's just so good. If anyone, by the way, does not follow A Little Britta Fun, pause this right now. Go look at her Instagram. Her stories are going to captivate you. You do have the best stories, I got to say.
Thank you. I do. I feel like they're good.
Yeah, they are. When I have, you know, there's always like people who are at the very front of my stories. You're always there. I'm always like, oh, Friday pulls. All right. Sunday sermon. Can't wait. Like, you know, what's going on? It's just, it's awesome. So many people I know like want to know about Britt, the person. Mm-hmm. And you give us little clips like here and there. You're like, I'm an ISTJ, Myers-Briggs, which by the way, a lot of people who follow this or listen to this podcast, like we're Myers-Briggs nerds. Mm-hmm. I don't know how into it you get, but I really do want to dive into your type, ISTJ.
Yeah, I don't know a ton about it, but I have a solid handle, I think, on like my type. At least.
Okay. Cool. And then you're Enneagram 5.
Mm-hmm.
And then astrology, what are you?
So I am I'll just give you my big three. So I'm a Capricorn sun, a Libra rising, and a Cancer moon. And then I always tell people I have a Pisces Venus, which that gets a little bit deeper into it. But like, I feel like that Pisces Venus is important because it rules my chart because I'm a Libra rising, which is a whole complicated thing. But yeah, the big three is all you really need to know.
Is it gone in the days where you're just a Leo or you're just a Scorpio? You're supposed to know your top three?
Yeah. So the thing is, it's like when people say that, that's their sun sign. So that is like, where was the sun in the sky on the day you were born? What is cool is when you get deeper into it, like if you have your actual birth time, then you can say, okay, here's a whole chart. And then you can say at this time, like you could think that you were like a Capricorn your whole life on the last day of Capricorn season, but because of the time you were born in that year, in that location. The sun had already moved into Aquarius and you're actually an Aquarius.
Whoa.
But like you whole, you get a whole chart picture when you have a time. And so really like what's going to make up the core of someone is going to be your sun, moon, and rising. That's like baby astrology. I think most people can dig into that and get a better picture of who they are. And your sun is sort of like your ego, how you sort of relate to yourself in some ways, I think. Your moon is going to be how you process and handle emotions. And then your rising, a very like basic way to think of rising is like, how are people perceiving you? Sort of what mask are you presenting to the world?
Okay.
But it can get much deeper than that. And then you can just, you can go past that and you can get into all kinds of placements like your Mercury and your Venus and your Mars. Like it's a whole thing.
I think that things like that, personality theories, are really, really interesting. Like I you know, too. Even if like some I tend to gravitate towards more, but I think they're all relevant and they all really like Myers-Briggs in general has helped me so much.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, like I, even like when I was like dating, I always wanted to know what everyone's Myers-Briggs was. And my family, I want to know it. And I think it's just like, it doesn't pigeonhole you. It doesn't like say whether you're a good or bad person. It doesn't say what your interests are or anything like that. It's more like decision making.
Yeah. And it's just, I just view it as like tools to help you navigate life and navigate relationships with other people. And I think that for Myers-Briggs, Enneagram, and for astrology, and I think people sort of get hung up on the, almost like some people use it as a crutch, like, oh, well, I'm this, so this is why I'm like this. But a lot of people are not using it that way. A lot of people are just rationally like taking it and saying, okay, this is how I think through things. This is how I operate. So if I'm connecting with this other person, how do they think through things? And it just helps you, I think, build better relationships with people.
I think so too. So your type, ISTJ. So one thing that I think is, first off, like ISTJs, for anyone who doesn't know, introverted, sensing, thinking, judging. Yes. And so what I find really interesting, Britt, is most ISTJs are incredibly private. And I don't know, I say like you are private, but you also share a lot online.
Yeah, I have a lot, like I share a lot of opinions and I am very open with some things, but like, I also, there are people online that have followed me forever and are like, and I'll just casually mention that like I'm divorced and people are like, wait, you were like married and then you got a divorce. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't, I'm private in my own ways, I think.
Yes. Yes, for sure. One thing that I also think is really fascinating. So the cognitive function that ISTJs typically lean on is introverted sensing. So they're like very big on recalling the past and trusting their past and picking up patterns and being like, we've seen this before. There's a good chance that this will happen again. And when I think about it, a lot of your messaging is like that.
Yeah.
Like when you're, that's when you're. Right? Like I feel like you're always kind of like recalling things and then bringing it to the present. Like a very, like, I think that's really, really cool. Where my type, I'm an INFP. I do, that's not my main cognitive function that I rely on. I think that's my third one. But so like, I don't as much trust my, like remembering like the past, because sometimes my emotions can twist it a little bit. So I'll bring it into the future and it's not as accurate. Where yours, ISTJs, it's typically like very, very accurate.
Yeah, that feels very true for me.
That's so cool.
And it's sort of in line with a little bit of my astrological chart too. Like I'm very, I sense a lot of things. I sort of lean on my vibes and my feelings. And sometimes it even feels like it's like past life stuff. I'm just like, okay, I've learned this lesson. I know this. I trust my gut. I trust what's happened. I'm going forward. And I know that is not how a lot of people, that doesn't work for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But I'm very much like, that's me.
That's so cool. Okay. Let's say you're going on a vacation. Do you have an agenda? Like, do you like to have an agenda? We're doing this. You do.
So I'm an agenda person, but I'm more, I think a better way in the vacation, like example is to say, I just need to know what we're doing. So is this a trip before we plan it where we're saying, just vibes, no plan, just vibes, then I'm fine if I know that in advance. Mm-hmm. But ideally, I love like an itinerary and a plan. But where I don't do well is if no one's discussed it, and then we get there and then people are like, oh, I want to do all this. And like no one's made any plans and it's just it like falls apart.
That's chaotic for you.
Yeah. Okay. And okay. I don't I know I create a lot of chaos in my stories, but I do not thrive in chaos.
Okay. That's so okay. That makes a whole lot of sense. Speaking of your stories, so I would say no one shares data as organized as you do. Like when you do your deep dives or mm-hmm. you share, you know, because you have these deep pulls that people love, like your pulls are amazing. And then you share it in this like organized way. I mean, like, is it like right from the get go? Do you have a plan of like how you're going to share it, how you're going to organize it? Like, is your phone highly organized?
So the only thing that I actually organize sort of in advance are the deep dives because I do research, which is why sometimes I get annoyed with people when they're like so demanding of things. Cause I'm like, I'm giving you this free like content, like chill out.
Yes.
But yeah. So I will like go and I'll look up sources and I'll organize things and I'll sort of like, I'll have all these tabs open like in a browser on my phone and I'll say, okay, how can I tell the story of this deep dive? And then I just screenshot like all my sources first. And then I screenshot like the story I want to tell in the order I want. And then I put them into separate photo albums on my phone that are labeled whatever the deep dive is. And so I do plan the deep dives, the polls, which I haven't done a Friday poll in a while. Maybe I should do one this Friday. The polls please. I save in my notes app. And I just like, if I see an interesting article, I'm like, oh, I wonder if I can make a poll out of that. And I'll just have sections of like little different topics. And that's how I'll like go through the polls. But most of it is organized because that is just how I am as a person. So there's not a lot of thought that goes into it or a lot of time. I'll just wake up in the morning and be like, I had this really deep thought. I wonder what everyone else thinks about this. I'll go to like Unsplash or a free image library, grab a picture that looks cute, and then just start a poll. And it seems, I think, like it is more thought out than it is. But the deep dives do take a lot of planning and a lot of like thought.
Oh my gosh, I'm sure. And my favorite thing is when you do call out people, when they like follow up with questions and you're like, there's this thing called Google. You should utilize it. You know,
I answer questions and I have no problem with questions. I respond to like as many like DMs as I can really, for the most part is like all of them, but sometimes things get lost in the request folder. But like when people ask me a very simple question that I know they didn't take any time to go look up themselves, I'm like, why?
I know. I need to be better about that. Like I really can have like people pleasing tendencies sometimes. And there are times when I'm like, sometimes I get it where it's like maybe they really want like a more like nuanced opinion on like something. But then there are times when I'm like, come on, you know, you really could have Googled that. But then I just like, well, and I just send them the answer anyways. And I'm like, oh, and then I swear I have you in the back of my head just being like, no.
Yeah, I'm big on boundaries. I love a boundary. I love to enforce a boundary. People don't always rock with that, which is why I tell people often, like whenever I get an influx of like new followers, I'm like, hey, this might not be the space for you. It seems fun at first, but maybe you need someone to talk to you in a different kind of way than I'm going to, because I don't take well to people like disregarding my boundaries.
Right. Yeah. I think what you have set up, that's very healthy to do. You know, because it is an interesting relationship, right? Like people who follow along with you and you and like that, even though it's this parasocial relationship, it's still a relationship. And I think that, you know, you have every right to hold boundaries. And you definitely do. You hold those boundaries for sure.
Yes.
Which I think is so great. That is also, not to get too nerdy, but an ISTJ thing. They really do like to like, say like lay the ground rules and don't freaking break those ground rules because this is it. It's laid out. It's agreed upon. We have the handshake. Don't even try it. You know?
Yeah. Very much. I used to work at UT in athletics, and the whole athletic department like did a little Myers-Briggs thing. Like we had an official person come out and everything. And there was like 100 and something people. And there were only 4 of us that were ISTJ. And it was like the 3 other people that I knew, like we thought the same. It was like, oh, this is a rule. No, we're not bending the rule for anyone. Like this is just how it is. And everyone was just like, yeah, that checks out that all 4 of you are like, in that sort of Myers-Briggs personality group, because we very much were like things by the book, no exception.
That's so interesting. It's almost like meeting someone that speaks your same language in certain ways, not in every way, but it's like, I know when I meet another INFP, it's like, whoa, you know, like I've never, it's weird almost in a way, because it's kind of like talking to a mirror in certain ways. We're very like different values and all of that, but it's really interesting when you are face to face with your type. I had one of my best friends, she came to visit. She's an ENFJ. And I'm friends with this other girl who's an ENFJ. And they met, and it was just, they're so alike. And having them both in the same room, it's like, man, this is so wild. So other little random question, being an ISTJ, if you were to cook a meal, do you eyeball it, or do you like a strict recipe with measurements?
I like a recipe and measurements.
Yeah. All SJs do. It's so funny. And all NPs like me freaking hate it. I hate a recipe. I just want to eyeball everything.
Oh, yeah. No, that's not me.
That is so, so funny. Okay, I want to tell you about my favorite product from MSW Nutrition. This is something that I use for a really long time. It's called Bliss. It's basically a serotonin and dopamine booster. It's sublingual. It's like this little powder. You put it under your tongue. It is so good for mood support. It's also great for the joints. It's also great for the liver. If you have an MTHFR gene mutation, it can be wonderful for that. I take this in times when I just have a little slump socially. I'll take it then. I'll take it if I have a cocktail. That's rare. But if I do, I'll take it then. It's wonderful. Try it out. My code is VioletFog. So let's talk about your Enneagram. So I'm a wing 5, but you're a solid 5. So what are Enneagram 5 people known for?
I don't know a ton. Like, I know that we're pretty logical. I think that
heavy researchers.
We tend to like structure and got all I do is look things up. That is probably the thing that I think connects with me the most, because I don't think anyone, like even my friends and like people close to me, understand like how much I just want to research things. Like if I don't know something or something just pops into my head, I just want to look things up.
Yes, for sure. I very much feel you on that. I also love, love, love research. There's nothing that brings me more joy. If there's something that like, you know, piques my interest, I can sit for hours. And I bet you're the exact same way.
Yes. Yes.
And it's so fun. And the research never stops.
No, it doesn't. And it sort of shapes how I think and like how I go through life and grow. So I love that aspect of it.
Yes.
I think the other thing that I sort of latch onto with that one is like the more logic over like emotions.
Because
that's kind of how I am.
you are very logical. Do you reserve, like from how you present online, you're like very logical in your opinions.
And I think that's how I am in general. And I don't know that it comes across in a lot of ways like cold, but I don't mean it that way, but it's just like, if I'm trying to process someone's emotions in a logical way, and that is sometimes not the best way to like provide comfort to someone.
That's okay. Sometimes that's needed though, too. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's also like, I mean, I have friends who are more, you know, fluffy with their words, and there's like the type that'll like get into the trenches with me if I'm, you know, depressed or whatever. And that's nice, but I also equally like need that friend that's going to be a lot more logical, maybe even a little bit tough love. You know, and arguably so, that will be the friend that really helps me get out of something or realize something. you know? So, and I I've always, like, in, when I look at a lot of my friendships with other girls, I don't know, like, what it is, but I'm drawn to a lot of thinkers and logical. Mm-hmm. It just, like, so happens that I'll, you know, bond, and which is wild because I'm, like, a heavy, heavy, heavy feeler. I'm very much emotionally driven. It's freaking chaotic up in this head, honestly. I'm just all over the place. But one thing I really like is about people who lean more, like, logical is you do always know where you stand with them.
Like, yeah.
Would you, or do your friends, would they say that about you? They always know where they stand
with you? Yeah. And I've had people, I started a new job a few months ago, and I've had people at my job be like, yeah, I like that, like, say that exact thing. Like, I like that. I sort of know where I stand with you. You're very upfront. I know you're not, like, going to sugarcoat things. I know you're not, like, lying about things. You're just, you are who you are. And I'm like, yeah.
Yes.
That's pretty much it. I cannot hide it.
Yes. Okay, so speaking of you are who you are, one thing I love that you talk about is Taylor Swift and how you talk about it.
Yes, I love
her. it's so funny. Okay, so I would say my favorite Taylor Swift song, I don't know, it might be on the bottom of your list, but it's Shoulda Said No.
That's a great song. Yeah,
Shoulda Said No. Yeah, I always really, really like that one.
Taylor.
That was country Taylor, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, that was country. Yeah. She's no longer country, right? Is she? She's like,
no. What she's is sort she of now? Moved into, like, a, well, like, Evermore and, like, Folklore were kind of considered, like, folky pop.
Okay.
But Red was sort of her last official country album, even though technically half that album is pop. And then 1989 was, like, her debut into pop world, and then everything after that is technically, like, pop.
Okay, so when did you, like, start liking her? When were you like, she's interesting? Because the arguments that you bring up with her are really fascinating.
Well, like, I've liked her music since her first single, Tim McGraw. Like, I've been a Taylor fan for a long time, like, since the very beginning. But I just find
have you ever been to any of her concerts?
No, and, like, I'm dying to go now, and I feel like it's going to be chaos because everyone's decided they like her again all of a sudden. But I find her just as a person fascinating because she does a lot of things that, like, get on my nerves, and, like, I'm like, come on, Taylor, I need you to do a little bit more. Like, she's not – she was never super vocal about a lot of things. Then she sort of found her voice and was trying to be more vocal. And, you know, speaking up for, like, LGBTQIA+ stuff, which is great, did all the, like, you need to calm down stuff, love that. But then, like, we had all this historic stuff happening with, like, abortion and things like that, and she sort of stays quiet. Like, that frustrates me.
Yes.
I think sometimes she can paint herself as a victim, but I also think that sometimes, like, it was really the media versus Taylor Swift for, like, 2 or 3 years there. And it was mess. I'm going to deep dive into that at some point. But so, like, I love the people I love. Like, I'm like a Swiftie. I love her. I call her Blondie as term of endearment. Like, she's great. Yeah. She brings me so much joy, but she's not above, like, critique or criticism for me.
And no one is.
So
I like that.
Yeah. So I feel like I have a nice balanced relationship with her, but she's fun. She has a lot of fun with her fans. She's always driving us, you know, up a wall with all her Easter eggs and, like, all this stuff, but it's just, it's a fun fandom when people aren't losing their minds to be a part of.
Yes, totally. I do think the Easter egg thing is really fascinating. And I do like I like that you say that she's not above critique, you know, cause, like, I do think a lot of people with celebrities or influencers even, you know, like, they just think they put them on this, like, extreme pedestal and it's like they can do no wrong, but it's like, they're a person and they're living out their lives just in public.
Yeah.
Which is so wild to me. So, okay. So I want to talk to you about living in Austin because you do talk about a lot of Austin stuff. How long have you been in Austin now?
So I moved back in 2019. So I guess it's been, what, 3 years now? I lived here for a short time in 2013 for about a year and a half.
Okay.
And then moved all over the state and then came back in 2019.
Okay. So do you think that there's been, like, truly, do you really think there's been big shifts since 2019 to now, even in that 3 years?
Yeah.
You'd say
I do. I think it just, it looks so unrecognizable to me in some ways. And the thing is, like, I'm not a native Austinite, but I am a native Texan. So I've spent a lot of time in Austin, even when I wasn't living here. It just feels like it's not made for local Texans, local Austinites at all. It seems like the city is really catering to transplants and the people from the state are sort of being pushed out. And it just seems like a lot of the, like, charm, the whole, you know, keep Austin weird of it all is just dying and or dead. I don't know.
I mean, I remember when I moved to San Francisco, when I first moved to San Francisco, the big uprising of people was the artists were getting pushed out of San Francisco, because that was a really big part of San Francisco. There was a lot of, you know, rock and roll and art painting and things like that. And that was a bit, and all the artists were being, you know, pushed out. And then now in Austin, I like hear I'm hearing the exact same thing, that people who are, like, local to Austin, or like the, like you just said, keep Austin weird, is really getting pushed out. It does look like, it does literally, it's starting to look like LA.
Yeah. And the thing is, I don't mind folks, like, move wherever you want to move. I'm not one of those people that's like, don't move here. Like, not seriously, because I will say it jokingly sometimes. But it's like, totally. I feel like if you want to move to a place because you like it, then you want the place to stay the same. And it seems like the people moving here are like, oh, I love Austin, but I need it to be like this, this, and this. And it's like they want to turn it into California. Mm-hmm. And that's frustrating.
Yeah, for sure. Totally. This one person I know, Jonathan Mendoza, he owns MSW Lounge, and he's very, like, big on Austin. He's a native Texan, and he always, because they get all these, like, transplants that come into his Ivy Lounge, and a lot of them are, like, very wealthy and stuff like that, and they've, like, you know, moved here, and the way they talk about it, he was telling me this, is, like, in a very, like, selfish way, you know, and he and he's like, I tell all of them, like, if you, like, move here, what are you gonna do for Austin? Like, you should be thinking of that, you know, like, if you're going to, like, move here, what are you going to do to, like, it, like, you're just here to, like, suck, suck, suck. But, like, you should do something, whether it is like immediately partner with an organization, or it literally could be anything, but give, you know, don't just move and suck. I feel like a lot of people do that.
Exactly. You know? I completely agree.
Or they don't want to learn about any of the issues going on in the city. They just kind of want to, like,
it's like a lot of people that were just like, oh, there's, you know, there's no state tax. Okay, cool. I can, like, maintain a residence here, fly back and forth to California. Who cares about the environment either? Like, it's fine. It's just, it's frustrating.
Oh my, totally. That, I know this is, like, such a random, like, thought, but that makes me think of celebrities on private planes.
That frustrates me to no end.
That frustrates me so much, you know?
And then they like lecture us about stuff. Yes. It's like, from your private plane, leave me alone.
Right. And it's just so interesting, because it's such a, like, you know, they think that it's, even I see this with influencers too, that it's this, like, flex to go on this private plane. But when I see it, I'm like, you're selfish. That's honestly what I first think. I'm like, why can't you just go on a, you know, that is so bad for the environment, and just, like, highly materialistic to post it. I know that sounds judgy of me, but that's really what I think, you know, every time.
I agree.
But let's get into other opinions. So, like, what is an opinion you hold right now? Okay, it can either go two ways. What's an unpopular opinion you have currently that's been, like, ruminating in your mind that you've shared? Or yeah, let's go with that. What's an unpopular opinion that you've had lately?
Okay, I have one lately that I haven't shared. I fear that we're, like, giving Trader Joe's too much. I do not think it is as great of a store as people have led me to believe. And I dare say it's overrated and not worth the hassle.
Oh my gosh. That's, is there, but do you have some gems? at Trader Joe's that you love?
Yes, and that's the thing. I don't think it's bad. Overrated doesn't mean terrible. It just means I think people did a lot with hyping it up. And that's it's true. Almost on this pedestal of like this like amazing store. And it's just like, sometimes it's a hassle. Like, we were in the middle of like fully sheltering in place. And Trader Joe's was like, their CEO was like, no, we're not going to even offer curbside because the experience of Trader Joe's is going inside and shopping.
What?
And
it's I did not know that.
Oh. It's like, we don't need that. And like, that's not even, I'm not even saying that makes them terrible, but it's just like, they make it this almost like an unattainable experience in some ways. It's like, oh, let me get you hooked on this product and then we're going to take it away. It's just like, they're starting to get on my nerves. Right. And I just don't. I think they might be a little bit overrated, just a little bit.
Things, you're starting to put new ideas in my head and light bulbs are starting to go off because I'm now, okay, so I like Trader Joe's. I go there sometimes, not a lot, but, you know, I'll go. But now that you're saying this, like what you just said of they bring things and then take it away, you know, so I have certain things that I go to Trader Joe's for. And then like lately, it's not been there. You know, and then all of a sudden it'll be there. And I'm like wondering, is it really a shortage or are you just fucking with me? And like, you just.
They know what they're doing.
Oh my gosh.
Ugh. Yeah. So I am just, I still have my things that I love from there and I'll still shop there. But
what are some of your faves though?
I like any of the frozen like Chinese food is my favorite thing. So like there's like a rib that I love. I love their little like burger patties too. I live in the frozen aisle.
Honestly. The frozen aisle is miraculous, I will say.
Also have like a brioche like bun type thing that I'm into. It's great. But not as great as people want me to believe.
That's so true.
That's where I stand now.
You know, I agree. It can be fun to go when they have like new things out. But yes, I had no idea that the CEO said that during the pandemic of like,
yeah, I don't know. I feel like it was the CEO, but I full on found an article because I full on was like, why can I not go to Trader Joe's and do curbside when every other store has found a way to do curbside because clearly we need to be at home.
Yes.
And he like the person straight up was like, part of the experience.
Yeah.
Is going down the aisles of Trader Joe. And I was like, shut up.
I know. Like during that time, come on. That's literally the last. That is the last thing that should be said. Okay. You got it. I feel like you should do a deep dive on that or talk about that.
I might.
Because that's interesting. I should dig into that more. Because you're right. Everyone is always talking about how great Trader Joe's is. No one really challenges it.
And it's like, why? Yes. Why? I don't trust it. That's another thing with me. It's like sometimes I'm like, I don't trust what's going on here. I need to dig in more.
If you haven't tried a potion yet, what are you waiting for? Violet Bog Potions is an adaptogenic latte, no caffeine, that is a great ritual to have every single day. Now we have two blends for you. One is a stress/stamina blend. That is like a healthy hot chocolate. It has things in it that are super good for stress, of course, circulation, brain health, mood support. That one, a lot of people love it as a caffeine replacement. Sometimes they'll even use it to wind down in the evening, or they'll use it as that afternoon pick-me-up. The other blend that we have is the Focus Blend. That's like a lemon ginger, kind of grassy undertone flavor. That one is really good for people who have shiny objects everywhere. They have a hard time focusing. They need more brain support. It's also wonderful for circulation. I love that one in the afternoon, especially when I need just a good 3 hours of brain power. If you want to check it out, use code MYFIRSTPOTION. What are some other things right now that you don't trust? That you maybe
whatever's happening with Miles Teller from the Top Gun movie, I don't like.
Wait,
everyone decided that they loved.
Who is Miles Teller?
He's in the new Top Gun movie. He is an actor, and people like all of a sudden saw that movie and think he's just like the hottest thing ever. And I don't understand it, and I don't trust it.
Oof.
Like, he's all over TikTok. He's everywhere. And it's just very strange that we all of a sudden, he's like being turned into the new It guy. And I feel like sometimes they do that in Hollywood. It's like they pick a person and they're like, oh, this person's going to be who we focus
on.
They
plant it. Yes. They decide.
Yes.
They decide.
And I don't like, I don't trust that. Same thing with the music industry. All the like pop girlies are on TikToks making sad TikToks about how their labels won't let them release music. Oh. I think that's all a marketing ploy.
Oh my gosh.
I don't trust that either.
Those
are like my two big things right now.
Those are big things though. Social media fucks with me to the point where I'm like, I don't even know what I can trust, you know, or like what's real. Like, should I feel outraged at this or should I try and think more logically about this? Could this be planted?
Yeah, I tend to like really stop and go like, okay, what's really going on here? And then I just take it. And sometimes I'm like, this is a lie. And I'll like keep it to myself. Sometimes I'll like talk about it on Instagram. Sometimes I'm like, oh, okay, I believe this. But I really approach social media like I'm watching TV. Mm-hmm. And so I just know that I'm like, some of it is going to be nonsense and totally like quote unquote false advertising. Yes. Some of it is just there for entertainment. And yes, like, I just take it for what it is.
Yes. I, one thing that like you deep dive on sometimes that I think is really interesting is the Kardashians. You've got me thinking of them in like a whole different way. You know, they really are interesting use cases. I don't like a lot of what they stand for. And a lot of times I'll just be honest, I get really angry of like, things that they'll do or say, like when Kim said she lost 16 pounds in 3 weeks and like broadcasted that to all these young women. I did not like that.
Yeah.
You know, and there's just a lot that they stand for that I'm like, I think it's very like materialistic and whatnot. But like you're right in that they're really interesting use cases, you know, like it's fascinating to look at. But like talking about the plants, you know, like I always like wonder.
Yeah.
Some of this stuff has planted.
I think that much of their lives is orchestrated. I think that people have to sort of, so I often tell people now, I have a whole highlight, a deep dive on them, and I could probably do three more of like problematic things they've done.
Yeah.
And I take them for who they are. I don't watch their new show. I don't follow them on social media. I don't really support them. I'll engage with things I find entertaining, like the Kravis wedding. I was like, okay, this is like a social experiment. Yes, like you had a whole brand, you know, fundraise and pay for your wedding. Like right. That's weird.
I know.
But I just think people should look at them for what they are. No, you're not getting a lot of like empathy, et cetera, for them. They are materialistic, but like what they have been able to do with their brand is fascinating and it's impressive.
It is.
And that's how I sort of approach them sometimes. But like, I tell people all the time, like Kris Jenner, I think is actually someone that should be studied. Like, I think she is a genius at what she does. And she orchestrates all kinds of stuff. Like half the stuff that we see from them is a lie. That whole new show is a lie. That's another hot take. Like people are very much like, it's so, you know, relaxed. They're so laid back. It's so much more authentic. They are selling you a narrative. Like they are invested in appearing authentic and genuine. They're still controlling everything they show you in the show. So like, how authentic is it, you know?
Yes.
But they are who they are.
They are.
And I don't mind folks liking them either. I think we all sort of have our people and things we support that it's like, we could probably pick better people to entertain us, but we all have our things. And I get annoyed when people, often men, try and like
stomp
critique
on our
people
joy
and enjoy stuff like that. Yeah, because cis men, heterosexual men,
they're the
tend
fucking
to
worst.
Hate anything. Yeah, they tend to hate anything that women enjoy.
I know.
And it's like, if you can name me every stat for, you know, every guy on your favorite sports team, you don't get to judge me for enjoying the Kardashians.
That is so
like, shut
true.
Up. Like, leave me alone.
I know. Like, that is so, so true. I hate when they stomp on joy. I hate when anyone does because it's just like, we all like different things. I remember, what is it? Fall pumpkin spice. You know, it's not my thing, but who am I to judge it? You know, I'm just like, what the frick ever, man? And because like for a second, I remember being like, I'm going to crack some jokes, you know, or just like do like an eye roll thing. And then I'm like, but for what? Because there's probably something that I like that they would give an eye roll to. So let's just like let something slide, you know?
Absolutely.
It's so hard to be joyful and like find things that we enjoy. So cling on to that stuff tight, you know? Cling on to stuff tight. So, okay. So back to Austin culture. So what spots or what things right now about Austin do you still really, really love?
So I still in this moment enjoy like going to East 6th as far as like if I'm going out. It still feels a little bit like, okay, it hasn't been totally transformed into something else yet. I still love that every now and then you can find little pockets of places that pop up, like a really good restaurant that's not overpriced and like no one has necessarily heard about it. And it's not on like any influencer's page and it's like a hidden gem, so to speak. I love that you can still sort of go anywhere with a dog. I love a dog moment. I love that there's still like things to do. And there are moments when you can just stumble upon a really fun, random, adventurous weekend or Tuesday, even like middle of the week thing to do, and say, this is Austin. Like, this is what I remember when I was like younger and like doing things here. That very much still exists. And that I appreciate. And I guess maybe in some ways appreciate a lot more seeing how it's transformed. But it does feel like those kinds of things are like few and far between now. Like it's they're hard to come by.
Totally. I like that you say you go on East 6th. That's where I always go out to if I go out.
I go to East 6th and I and then I have like one or two dive bars that I just will not tell people what they are. Like I had someone ask me on Instagram and I was like, I'm sorry, I'm gatekeeping this. Like don't want anyone to go.
Every now and then there's something that you just got to hold close to the chest and not share. And that's just, that's just how it goes. Okay. So this segues into influencers, as you just said, because I do want to pick your brain on that. Cause I love that you talk about influencer culture. I love that you call them out. I love that you also talk about like what it is to be, you know, like if you consume someone's content all the time to like not just be like a looky-loo or whatever, like you really cover each side like so eloquently. And influencer culture to me is really fascinating. I, first off, I do hate the term influencer. Do you or you do not care?
I'm indifferent to it. I generally don't mind it. I think it is a term that fits what people do. I know people tend to hate it. I tell people that they don't really need to think of me as one because like I'm not selling you anything, but even more so than that, I don't rely on an audience to like make money. So I'm not going to treat you in the same way that like influencers do, whereas like I don't need to cater content to you and be concerned what you think of what I do. So it's just different, but I don't see anything wrong with it, but I do know people hate the term. Which is fine. It's fair.
You're in a unique space because I feel like a lot of like influencers might look at you as other as an influencer or other people might, but like you said, you are so much more than that. And I really do look at you as opinionist essayist. You just happen to share this stuff on social media, you know? But you know a handful of influencers. You see influencers out in the wild in Austin. And whatnot. And I remember you once posting something and I very much agreed with this. And you were like, a lot of influencers need to stop acting like they like run the place or like they're like all that kind of bag of chips, you know? And I really,
there's an entitlement to some of them.
Definitely.
Which I think anyone can fall into that category. But I think if you're like always being invited places and always sort of being catered to, it can really sort of warp your sense of how to behave in an environment where there are normal folks, quote unquote, around and not just an influencer space. And I think some of them forget that.
I completely agree with that. It's like, it's really interesting. I've been around like a lot of other influencers and I always like, I don't feel like outcasty, but it's just like, there's so much about it that I don't like. I remember in San Francisco, I had a friend. She was an influencer. We were buddies. That was like probably one of the very few friends that I've had, true friends that I've had that was an influencer. And she was very good at like Instagram and growing. And I remember her like saying to me, she's like, well, you literally have to play the game. You have to always be like collaborating and do it. And I'm like, I don't want that though. That's so orchestrated. And it's like fake friendships. And that just seems like you're just like using someone. And then also, that was like the first taste I ever really got in like, you know, because that was, I feel like 2014-ish was like the rise of the influencer Instagram, you know, we really first started to see it. And I remember just seeing it just a little bit in San Francisco. And I was just like very like turned off by it. But at the same time, I was like, I do like being online, though. I'm a nerd and I love talking about like this stuff. So I want to like find some way to do it. But how can I be like in this world, but not of this world, you know, the influencer stuff. And even to this day, as you say, like they don't sometimes like the entitlement really is so real. And I see that and it truly embarrasses me, you know?
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't, there's not like a, so I mean, I guess there is a solution for it. They just need to understand what's going on, and I guess someone needs to to give them a piece of their mind or something, you know. But
yeah,
but
I think that like they serve a purpose. I think many of them do a great job. Like there are accounts I go to where I'm like, oh, I, you know, have people in town, let me see what I can do. And I that's why, like, on the flip side, when I'm critiquing them, I'll then like talk to an audience and be like, well, if you're sitting here consuming someone's content and getting use out of it, and then you're complaining all day because they post ads, you need to like figure out what's going on with yourself, because like basically you're using them. Yeah. And so now they're going to kind of reciprocate. And it's I think sometimes the audience needs to have a better understanding of what they're getting with that. It really is. Yeah. It's like, okay, you're watching a TV show. Here's the commercials. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, it's like, I need influencers to understand that like, y'all aren't celebrities. Right. And even, then it's like, I don't even sort of give a pass to celebrities half the time. It's like, you need to have some kind of grace in how you move through society.
For sure.
And I think sometimes people let things go to their head and they need to like come down to earth a little bit.
Totally. Or their whole perception, or just like the way that they even look at life, is just through this social media lens. Like sometimes I even like worry about the mental health of some of these people, because it's like, how can they even live up to what they're posting sometimes, especially the ones that are like perfect all the time. I literally just picture them with their heads exploding off camera and just, like fearful.
Yeah. It's very easy to get caught up in it. And it's not real. I don't want to be like, none of it's real. Cause you know, like we are humans on the internet, and you know, even if it's curated, it's still real life to some extent, but it's like the interactions you're having with people, the like tens of thousands of people following you, the like people that are inviting you places, like that is a part of reality, but it is not complete reality. And I think the more you start to let that take over what you perceive as reality, like fully, you are sort of losing yourself and it starts to warp your perception of everything.
Yeah, I completely agree. I've had like younger women like DM me or talk to me and be like, I want to be an influencer. And I'm like, no, you do not. Seriously. Mm-hmm. Like if anyone ever comes to me, like, I really actually am like, you really don't. Like there's like so much of like what I do, like that I love, but there's so much of it that I hate, you know? And I'm like, I almost like hate that I love it kind of thing, you know? So
people just see the like perks and they're like, oh, this sounds great. And they think it's easy. And that's another thing. Like it's not, it's work.
So it is hard work. Yeah. It really is. Yeah. And everyone, it really is like so different. Like, I have friends who get sent so much stuff. I do not get sent a whole lot of stuff at all. And I think people might like think that, but I definitely do not. I think a big reason is because I call out brands, you know, if like,
yeah.
And so they're like, F this bitch. Like, she's just going to rip us to shreds, you know? So, but yeah, everyone's is like so, so different. And it's just, it is wild. I've met some in person. I'm like, wow, that really does not match who is online.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes mm-hmm. it does. Sometimes I'm like, wow, you really are.
Yeah.
Totally who?
Yeah. Yeah. I've met a handful of people here that I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. The vibes are great. Like,
yes.
You are what you seem like on social media, into it. And then I've met a few where I was immediately like, nope, not for yes. me. Vibes are off.
Yes. Vibes are off. Goodbye. So what's a deep dive that you haven't started yet? You're like, this mm-hmm. is on the horizon. It's brewing in your head.
So I think that I am about to do the media versus Taylor Swift and just dig into like how she was portrayed, especially in the like pre-Reputation years, everything that got us to Reputation. Yes. Swifties will know what I mean by that. And then I had someone asking for a celebrity feuds, but like niche ones, maybe ones that people don't know about. So I think, and that sounded fun to me. I was like, okay, might dig into that a little bit. And then I've got a few that I want to do on Patreon where I have this little series of like families that control the world, but really it's like America, Whoa. But it's like these powerful families. Yes. So I have a few that I've like started researching, and it basically we just go through like their history
yeah.
and how they came into all their wealth hoarding, and then how they like use that influence to control like politics and world affairs, which is interesting.
Yeah, totally.
Terrible, but interesting.
Very interesting. I would love to see that deep dive. Would you ever do a podcast? I just asked this because right before I got on, I was like looking through my DMs and someone was like, ask her if she'll ever do a podcast because I would listen any second.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like I'm dipping my toes into it on Patreon. I do a lot of like quote unquote audio ramblings and then talking about pop culture topics and then sometimes talking about like history and
That's
stuff.
That's why a big reason why and I just sign sort up, of because I saw that you said that you do audio posts and I'm like, I would love to just play yeah. and like listen to you while I do the dishes and stuff like mm-hmm. that, you know? But okay. So go on. So you're dipping your toes.
Yeah. And so And then I think I'll just see. I would be very open to it. I don't know. Like, part of me is like, I don't know if someone wants to just hear me talk about stuff for like however long I would for a podcast episode regularly. But then I think of people like Kate Kennedy, Be There in Five, and I love her. And she'll like, I'll listen to her talk for 3 hours about something random, mm-hmm. like a 1990s like Abercrombie catalog. Yeah. So I'm just like, there is space for it. It's something I've thought about. I would be open to it.
There is totally space for it. I think you do so good. I always like, there's certain people on my like list that I'm like, I wish so bad they had a podcast. You are one of them. This girl, Heal with Fifi, is one of them. Black Forager. I don't know if you follow her. I freaking love her. I wish she had one.
No.
There's like just certain people and I'm just like, you should do it. You should so do it. I think you'd kill it, but I just wanted to know if that's ever, you know, on the horizon, if we could ever like, maybe, you know, just put it into the atmosphere.
Definitely think about it.
Into your orbit, for sure. Okay. So my last thing that I want to ask is about your Patreon. So mm-hmm. what can people expect on your Patreon? Because you give little glimpses like here and there, but I'm sure there's like a lot of people who like, would just love to hear like from you, like what are you putting on there? And like, do you go way deeper than you do on Instagram?
Yeah. So I'll just sort of walk you through some of the stuff. So every Friday I do a link drop where I just like all the things I read. I used to share it on Instagram, but I just got tired of it. So I put it on Patreon. There's a monthly newsletter, which that has a section of like fun links I read because the link drops are typically like news. It gives you a recap of the books I read. There's a section called Thinking About where I just dive into things I was thinking about. And then I'll have like a heavier topic that I write like a little mini essay on. And then anything else I feel like putting in the newsletter, and that's monthly.
Nice.
And then in the in-between, I basically just do audio posts. Like sometimes I'll do a draft of, like, when I was still blogging a lot on my blog, because I kind of am in a paused space right now, I would do like draft posts. Yeah. But right now I just do a lot of audio posts. So like I'll do audio ramblings where I'll talk about things that I can dig deeper into them over audio, and you can pick up on the nuance more in audio. And I know I won't have to deal with the annoyances I would get if I was trying to just get it off quickly in an Instagram story. Yes. So I'll talk about like deeper topics over there. I'll talk about pop culture topics, and then I'll do audio deep dives over there, which people seem to really like.
Yeah.
It's like sometimes the things, like someone asked me for a Dave Ramsey deep dive, and I've done a Sean King one over there, and I was going to try and do it in Instagram in my stories, but it made more sense for me to be able to like talk through things. Yeah. And I could read people like actual quotes and things like that. So I'll do a lot of like audio deep dives, audio ramblings, things like that. And then I do PowerPoint presentations sometimes on just random pop culture stuff. So it's like a mix of things, but I do think if anyone, there's like a $5 a month tier, if anyone has the means and is curious about what I would sound like in a podcast space, that is probably where you want
to
be.
But really, they should sign up.
Because there's a lot of audio.
They should sign up for
there.
The $15 one. I'm just going to say it because that is a lot of work. That is so much work.
Like yeah.
What you just said. And then, I don't think a lot of people realize that, how much like time and effort, because it's first off just putting it on there, then it's saving everything, then it's always thinking about, and it's just so much work. If anyone's gonna sign up, you're signing up for the $15 one right along with me. Okay. It's just happening. All right, good to know. Okay, cool,
thank you.
Okay, very, very last thing. I promise, the last question, I know we're going over, but I love talking to you so much.
Fine.
So your book recommendations are so good. And my favorite one that I've read from you is White Ivy.
Oh, I loved that book. Yeah. That book, that book took me by surprise. I just did not know what to expect. And then I finished it and was like, wow, I love this.
So I thought that was so beautifully written, and just, I could not put that one down. So what's a book right now that you like just recently read that you think people should read for all the readers?
I don't know. I'm trying to think. I feel like it's not great, but the most fun I've had this year in reading anything was Zodiac Academy, but it's like all over, it's like fantasy, spicy romance.
Yeah.
Okay. But I have not, I'll say this for right now, I don't think I've read anything that's like blown me away yet this year. But I will say, even if you don't follow me, if you go and check the highlight for 2022 books, every book I read of the year I save in a highlight. Yes. And I'll put little notes and stuff so that people can see if it sounds interesting. Yeah. But there's not been anything that I'm just like, wow, I love this was amazing.
Okay, well, we will know.
Usually something.
We will know because you'll let us know.
Usually something comes about.
Awesome.
Yeah. The last book I like really loved that I read was like Normal People, I think.
Normal People.
I know that's like a whole topic for another day. Yeah. People feel very, I read it like, when did that book come out? Maybe 2 years ago. But that was like the last book that like I feel like blew me away. But it has very like, people either love it or they hate it.
Can I ask what it's about?
It's about this couple and all their drama, but it's much deeper than that.
Can it happen in real life?
Yes.
Because I don't like anything that can't happen in real life. I don't like that. I don't like Harry Potter.
You would not like Zodiac Academy.
Okay. I only like things. So Normal People can happen in real life. Okay.
Yes. Yes, and I'm looking at my highlight right now because I want to make sure I tell you something. Okay, yeah, no, there's nothing that I'm like, this is great. I will say a book that I enjoyed was Wish You Were Here by Jodi Picoult. I think that's how you say it. I read that at the beginning of the year. It's not going to be for everyone. I will just say read the blurb about it. But it was a very interesting book that sat with me for a long time after I
Okay. Ooh, I like that. Okay. Normal people wish you were here. Yeah. I'm going to go look those up. And one of them will be my next book that I read, because I do need a book. I need a book to read for enjoyment. You know, I read all these like science and nerd health books, but I need an enjoyment book or something that's going to teach me emotionally and get me thinking.
Yes. And I'm always happy. Like, I love giving book recommendations. Maybe I'll put together a little thing on Patreon. Yes. I'll do that.
Signing up tonight, so I'll be waiting. Well, thank you so much. I honestly love talking to you so much. I can't wait for this episode to come out. I'm going to have all your info so everyone can find you. Thank you so much, Britt.
Thank you for having me. I had a great time.